Notice with me in Proverbs chapter 8, reading verse 17. We're just going to take one verse tonight. Last week, we were in verse 14 through 16, titled Kings and Princes and Proverbs. This evening, we're going to title the message and the first part of the verse. In other words, we find here, he says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Father, we thank you this evening again for the privilege to be able to come together and, Lord, and sing the songs of Zion, look into thy word and fellowship with one another. Father, we pray tonight, as we prayed many, many times, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that thy anointing be upon the reading of Holy Scriptures. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to title it, as I said, I love them that love me. That'll be the title this evening. Just this one verse. Notice now as we come to this, and we'll break it down into the two sections. First of all, we'll look at the statement that's said here, I love them that love me. And then secondly, we'll come back and consider for a few moments, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now this is a profound and blessed statement that should command our attention. When the Lord says, of course, wisdom is speaking here, and he said, I love them that love me. In other words, there is a mutual love that exists here between wisdom and her children. Again, this should command our attention. God tells us whom he loves. And we have to ask the question, do we love God? Do we love wisdom? Do we love the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's what the wisdom here is. It's the words of God and the words of his Son. One writer said, to love and be loved by Christ is the very essence of heaven. And how true that this is. Before we actually just start turning to Scripture, I want to mention to you that there is, in the way that God loves us, there's at least three different ways that God loves individuals. And one would be like in John 3:16, there is a general sense in which God loves all. And we see that, you know, again throughout the Scripture. In other words, he sent his Son to die for all because he loves all. And he gives rain and sun to the just and the unjust. That's Matthew 5 and verse 45. We also know that the Lord Jesus even loved those in a general sense we're speaking right now. He loved those that rejected him. Luke 19 and verse 41, we find that he wept over the city of Jerusalem when he pronounced judgment. And so in a general sense, God loves all. This is true, is it not? Let me give you one other verse, or at least a few verses. Notice, well, you don't have to turn there, but in Romans 5, beginning in verse 6, this here proves that God loves all. It says in verse 6, and when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In other words, he loved us. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And he says here in verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then in verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. In this passage, we see here that Christ loved and died for the ungodly, the sinner, and the enemies of God, of which we were all a part of at one time. So in a general sense, we do see in the Scripture that God loves all. Now, in a redemptive sense, God loves his elect. I'll give you this passage also, and you can just write this down. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, we actually read from part of this passage on Sunday morning in another sermon. But from verse 6 through 11, we find here in this passage, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did set his love upon you." Let me back up and reread that. I missed a word. "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage." And he goes on to speak of his faithfulness and so forth to the children of Israel. So in a redemptive sense, God loves his elect, his chosen. That would be true in the Old Testament with ancient Israel, the church in the wilderness. And that is true of anyone who is saved today. He forgives, he loves. Now, our text is not speaking of either one of those. The third way that God loves is we'd say in a special sense, he loves those that loves him. And that's what we're talking about in this text. In other words, it'd be as in Deuteronomy 5:10, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." So God loves all in a general sense. He loves his chosen in a redemptive sense. But we find here in this particular text, in a special sense, God loves those that love him. Now, why is this important? Well, you can put your marker here, and we're going to turn away. Notice with me as we turn to the New Testament. And let's first of all take 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, reading one verse. Most of you can probably quote this. We're going to read here and then 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We find here verse 19, "We love him because he first loved us." We see here that our love is the response of seeing and embracing the love of the Father and the Son to us. So we find that we love him because he first loved us. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm sorry, it's just 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And again, I just want to take one verse from this and we're going to go to the book of John. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to take in verse 14. Now, verse 15 tells us that he died for all. And we find that in verse 18 through 21, that he has reconciled the world unto himself. In other words, we find that he, again, speaking of his love and his death. But notice here, as we come to verse 14, speaking of the love of Christ. We just saw in 1 John 4:19 the love of the Father, the love of God. In verse 14, he says here, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Three times in the New Testament, we find the expression, the love of Christ. Ephesians 3:19, in Romans 8 and verse 35. Now, again, we see this mutual love that exists between wisdom and her children, between God and his people, between those that love him. Now turn with me, please, to the book of John, and we're reading in chapter 14. John chapter 14. We'll read a few verses out of the book of John. This mutual love between God and between his people. God loves those that love him. Notice in John chapter 14, first of all, we're going to be reading in verse 15, then we're going to skip down and read a few verses in this chapter. In verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Notice as we come down to verse 21, he says here in verse 21, "And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Come to verse 23. in verse 24. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Notice we find here that mutual love. God loves those that love him. We love God because he loves us. And he loves us because we love him. That mutual love that is there. Notice also in chapter 16. In chapter 16 and verse 27. Chapter 16 and verse 27. We have here in this passage said, For the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. So again, we see the same thought here that we find in the Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Notice in John chapter 21. John chapter 21. We preached a message last year from this text entitled it, Lovest Thou Me. Notice as I read from verse 15 through verse 17. This is the Lord speaking to Peter. And here, when we read this, we see a mutual love between the Lord and between the Apostle Peter. He says, When they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Verse 16. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verse 17. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? In other words, Peter was sorrowful. He was broken. He was humbled by this. And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. And by the way, that's the key here. The Lord knows all things. He knows the hearts of men. And so he says here, Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, when we consider this mutual love, the Lord knew that Peter loved him. And we know that Peter had denied the Lord. And in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 15, Peter's heart was broken when he had sinned in his denial of the Lord at the trial. And the Bible says he goes out and weeps bitterly. And the Lord knew his heart. And there's a reason that the Lord did this here. The Lord's confirming to him the love that they have for one another and the commission that he has given to him. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Notice with me in chapter 3. In 2 Timothy in chapter 3, I want to begin reading in verse 1. You see, this is why we find verses like in 1 Peter 1:8, Peter writing to the saints of God says, Whom having not seen ye love, speaking of Jesus Christ, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy and unspeakable and full of glory. The saints of God that Peter's writing to, they'd never seen the Lord Jesus Christ physically as Peter had. And he said, yet you love and you believe and you rejoice in this. That's showing the love of God. And I think about another passage that you can jot down. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 10, especially verse 10 and 11. And there's a statement here I want to mention in this, but I want to read these two verses. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Here's a statement I want to add in with the sermon tonight. The last statement says, And they loved not their lives unto death. Now, how can that be so? They loved not their lives unto death. How can that be? Because they loved God. They loved God above anything else on this earth. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading from verses 1 to about verse 4. He says here in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." We preached a sermon this year, last year, titled "Lovers of God" from this text. I have another one to preach. I just haven't done it, and that is "Despisers of God." But notice in verse 2, it says that men shall be lovers of their own selves. And then in verse 4, he says there's those who are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So lovers of God in this passage speaks of those who are in contrast to lovers of pleasure. So God does have those not only that he loves, but those that love him and follow him. And we've already seen the connection of loving him is keeping his commandments, believing his word. Now let's go back to the Old Testament and notice this. Go with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 91. Psalms chapter 91. If you write down Psalms 116, the writer begins in that psalm. He said, "I love the Lord because he heard my voice." You'll see that mutual love that is there. But notice in Psalms chapter 91. Now this entire psalm is dealing with God's protection of his people. As a matter of fact, in verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom will I trust." And all through here we see again the importance of God's protection. He's the shield and buckler in verse 4. In verse 9, "He is my refuge," speaking of the Most High. But I want you to notice as we come to verse 14 through 16, notice here that God speaks to those that love him. Verse 14 through verse 16, this is God speaking. "Because he has set his love upon me." Now think about this. Think about this. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him." There is that mutual love between God and his people. He says, "I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Think about that, God honoring him. He says, "And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." God is speaking to those that love him. Notice with me as we turn to Psalms 18. In Psalms 18, this is one of the most amazing things that I find in the Word of God. To be loved by Christ is really the best reward for loving him. Think about what other reward is better than him loving us because we love him. Now notice in Psalms 18. Now what is interesting about this chapter, there's a lot of apocalyptic language in this chapter from verses 6 down through about verse 16 and 17. But the writer here, as we come here, believed to be a Psalm of David. If you compare this with 2 Samuel 22, it's almost identical. So it's talking about David's deliverance from the hand of his enemies, and particularly King Saul. Just notice how he starts out. My text is really verse 20, but notice how he starts out. He said in verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. He speaks of the sorrow of death that encompassed him, and the floods of the ungodly made him afraid, and the sorrows of hell compassed him in verse 4 and 5. But then he said at the beginning in verse 6, he said, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even in his ears. He speaks of the earth shaking, the hills moving, verse 7. He speaks of the smoke out of his nostrils, the fire out of his mouth. Again, a lot of apocalyptic language that literally took place in David's day. In verse 9, he bowed the heavens and came down. This God that David loved, and that this God who loved David, he bowed the heavens and came down. He rode upon a chariot in verse 10 and did fly upon the wings of the wind. And he just continues to talk about that. He speaks of hailstones and coals of fire in verse 13 and lightning and arrows in verse 14. Speaks of his deliverance. He said, verse 17, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. Speaks of his calamity in verse 18 and 19. But notice how he pleads with the Lord in verse 20. He said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Now, is David out of line here? No. David, first of all, was a believer. He was a follower of God, as we are here today. And David had said here that the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, and according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. He continues to talk about this. He speaks of those who are upright in verse 23 and so forth. And then he speaks of those who are not in the text. How could David say this? Well, David had a love for God. And David had a love for wisdom and truth and understanding, and the Lord loved him because of that. Again, we see clearly this mutual love that is here. Let me just give you the passages. I'm going to ask you to turn back with me to Proverbs 8. Let me give you a few other passages. And one of those is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27 through 35. And in that text, the Lord had to deal with Eli. And I'm going to read one verse for you out of that. But the Lord had to deal with him. He was a priest. And what he had done is that he had actually, in the text, honored his sons above God. Many parents do this. And they were grown, but they were not dealt with properly. And here's what verse 30 says. It says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. He pronounces judgment upon Eli and his house. He was a man, again, that he honored his sons above God, at least in this particular case, as you read through the chapter. Now, we find that Samuel is in the picture here. And Samuel is very young. But when you begin reading in chapter 3, you're going to find that Samuel actually heard something that Eli evidently has never heard. In other words, the voice of God. The people even called Samuel the seer because he was able to see the heart of God and the heart of men. And that's interesting to me because Eli, again, it actually says in verse 29, he honors his sons above God. And God says, I will honor them that honor me. In other words, I will love them that love me. So we have Eli and judgment pronounced upon his house. We have Samuel here that as a young lad is starting to hear the voice of God because he's sensitive to that. And we know the great prophet that Samuel was. And so when we consider this, God knows whether we love him. He knows how much we love him. He knows that. So God loves obedient children. Do we not like obedient children today? Nobody wants to be around disobedient children. So the Lord embraces, now listen to me tonight, the Lord embraces and appreciates our love for him. Now you think about that. The Lord embraces and appreciates our love that we have for them, for him. That's how special that this is. Now notice the next statement that's given here. We find in verse 17, first the first statement that we just covered, I love them that love me. Never forget that. That's a special kind of love. Now in the text, it's wisdom, but you can't separate wisdom from God the Father, and you can't separate this divine wisdom from Christ the Son. So now the second statement that we find here is that those that seek me early shall find me. Isn't this a wonderful verse? I was going to cover about three or four verses tonight, and I said, I just got to camp out here. Wonderful passage. What does this mean? Well, those who truly seek wisdom, that is the wisdom of God, he's promised here that they'll always find it, as in chapter 3 and verse 13. We find God's promise in this text is absolute. And the reward, this is the reward of earnest seekers. They will receive the wisdom of God. The one does not exist without the other. In other words, those that seek him early. Those that seek him early. I want you to turn with me. You turn loose of this passage now. I'm going to talk about seeking and that word early. Turn with me to Psalm 63. Now, what does this word early mean? Well, it means great diligent. With sincere affections, holy pursuit, that is in seeking wisdom, divine wisdom and religion. Now the word early might could be used more ways than this, but I'm going to give you three ways that can be used. And all of three of these can actually, we can be obedient to them if we desire. One, it can mean just literally early in the morning. Just early in the morning. Psalms 5 and verse 3, the psalmist spoke of that. And also in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, we know that our Savior, which is our example, that he rose early. In Psalms 1 and verse 35, it says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So it can literally mean early in the morning. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 32:24, I think the Hebrew word that's used here is actually used for morning or the breaking of the day. You remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel until the breaking of the day. So it can literally be used just simply early in the morning, before anything else is going on, before traffic and business and phone calls and work and things of that. So that can be true. Another way it can be used is early in life. Not only just early in the morning, but early in life. 2 Chronicles 34:3. Josiah, very young, sought the Lord early. And in his reign, he was able to accomplish great reform in the nation of Israel because he was a seeker of God. He didn't wait until he was 50 or 60 or 90 years of age to start serving God. Another passage is the whole chapter of Ecclesiastes 12. It starts off with remembering thy Creator. In other words, in our youth. And then in Jeremiah 2 and verse 2. So early in life, many young people, they want to seek themselves and their own pleasures and their own things. But God says He wants you to seek Him early in life. And then number 3 is early in choice. Early in morning, early in life, and early in choice. In other words, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. All the things that I need in life, He's promised that He would give them to us. And also in Isaiah 26, verses 3 and in verse 9, our choices, seek Him. Let His, in other words, when we have choices to make, and every day you and I live, we have choices to make. They may be small, they may be large, but we're to seek Him early in choice. Another, go to His Word, get counsel, if need be, and pray, seek the Lord so that we can make right decisions. All right, now notice in Psalm 63, we're talking about this thing about early. By the way, Isaiah 59, verse 6 through 9, seek Him while He may be found. There can come a time when He cannot be found. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 9, we'll either receive Him or reject Him. He speaks in that passage. He speaks in that passage and he says this. Let me find it here. He said, the wise men are shamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. Now listen to this. And he says, and what wisdom is in them? It's not the wisdom of God, because they rejected the wisdom of God. Matthew 7, verse 7, in the following verses says, ask, seek, and knock, and you shall find. It shall be open. He's promised that. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask, but ask in faith. And the following verses speak of that. In other words, don't be unstable and wavering back and forth, but seriously ask in faith. So God has promised that He would give us this. Now think about the two thoughts in the verse we've just started with tonight. Wisdom loves those that love her. God loves those that love Him. Christ loves those that love Him. This is a special kind of love. And then we find that those that seek early shall find it. That's a promise that we have. That's a promise just like John 3:16 or any other promise. That's a promise like Romans 8 and verse 28 in the following verses. Now notice as we close here in Psalm 63, again believed to be a Psalm of David, and we read about about first 8 verses or 9 verses. Beginning in verse 1, I'll just read through it. Just notice the importance of seeking the Lord and seeking Him early and meditating upon the things of God. Verse 1. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Think about this. We could read on, but just think about these verses. Verse 1, seeking the Lord early. Verse 2, to see His power and His glory. Then he praises the Lord. And then verse 6 he says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Amazing statements. You know, I was thinking about this afternoon, this week a little bit, the story of Corrie ten Boom's family in Nazi Germany. I was thinking about in the prison, the Nazi camps, and where they was at, and her father, Corrie ten Boom, her father died in the camp, and then her sister died before that they was ever released. And they had nothing but the clothes that was given to them. And she finally obtained a small Bible that was very precious, you know, to her and her sister. And kept their faith through all of that. They had nothing but God. They had no things, no freedoms. They had nothing. Had no money. But they kept their faith. Her sister, Betsy, was it, I think, kept her faith, and she died there in the prison as her father did. And they kept their faith. They had struggles and whatever, but kept their faith. God loves those that love Him and those that seek Him early. He's promised by the authority of the Holy Scripture that they shall find the truth. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for this time you've given us together. Thank you for your love and kindness and mercy to us. Lord, thank you for loving us. We thank thee for loving us. And Lord, help us to love you more and more each day as we follow you, as we serve you. Lord, help us to just be lovers of God. We ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.